Hi, welcome to Drive Innovation with Hybrid Cloud, episode 1 of 3. I'm Brian Turch, a technology architect from the REST at MTC. If you've ever been in a session with me, you'll hear a tagline called flexibility of choice. Really, it's about your choice. Microsoft has a number of solutions, regardless of where you decide to deploy and the technology you decide to deploy. Sometimes I have a bad word that I say, I don't care. It's not that I don't care, it's not my preference. So it's about the choices you make, and that Microsoft has a solution for any choice that you have, whether it's on-premise, public cloud, private cloud, VMware, Azure. Microsoft has a solution that can help you. Over the years, the evolution of IT has changed quite a bit. Traditionally, IT was a very slow, lethargic organization to change. But now, with the evolution in smartphones and everybody connected all the time, users are used to an instant gratification, immediately accessing an application, change at a moment's notice. Well, internal IT has to evolve in the same levels, in the same ways, as the consumers are bringing that aptitude back into their organization and requiring that organizations evolve rapidly with them. But quite often, organizations need to drive finances down, improve efficiencies. Cost is a major item. So organizations are always looking at how can they improve their financial constraints. How can organizations become more agile? Too often, things are very manual. It takes years to deploy operating systems, months and years to deploy applications. And that's not proper in this day. So if we look at, let's real quick run this video here while we're playing. If we can increase our productivity, right here, having my son Tyler, he's 3 years old at the time. He's going to create a virtual machine with System Center Virtual Machine Manager. It's not that Tyler's has a high aptitude, but the point of this is that we shouldn't be doing basic mundane tasks. I can teach anybody in a few minutes to right-click a few times. So we typically have a lot of highly paid engineers on staff. We need those engineers to be planning for the next, to evolve in the organization. And if we can do that, we can become more productive and more of an agile organization by taking away all these manual steps. It's a good storyline. I hear they'll say, Brian, all right, I hear you, but how do I really get there? You know, I have my day-to-day operations, I have leadership changes, technology changes. I'm like, hey, I work at Microsoft. It's even hard to keep up with all of our technology myself. So IT can always lose focus and becomes a hard thing to do. So how do we get there? Well, from our side, System Center and Windows Server is a big driver to help us get there with all the automation and the techniques that we can utilize. Throughout this session, we'll talk about some of these components and how it can help us in a hybrid cloud deployment to drive that innovation within our organizations. But first, let's talk about the taxonomies within the cloud. So today, on-premise, we'll run everything soup to nuts, from the network, the storage, the applications. Everything end-to-end, you're responsible for all those components within your organization. The first step that people typically move to within cloud is infrastructure as a service, where the vendor like Microsoft would host the physical aspects, the network, the storage, the virtualizations. However, you run the operating system from top to bottom. You have to patch it, you have to maintain it, you install your applications. This is no different than you do today. Moving up the platform, I'm an infrastructure guy by nature, so sometimes it pains me to say this, but really, platform is the end state for most organizations. So raise your hand if you think that you run an operating system because it's fun. Most people never raise their hand when you say that. Why? You run an operating system to deploy an application that justifies a business need. So that's where platform really excels, where the vendor like Microsoft can run from the storage to the runtime to the operating system. No more upgrades, no more patching. Just focus on your application. That allows you to be a lot more agile. If we move into software as a service, from a consumer side, people are used to things like Hotmail or Bing or Office 365 on the commercial side or Windows Intune. This is where Microsoft runs from top to bottom the applications. All the years I've been designing Exchange and deploying Exchange, I've sat in design sessions for a couple of days, and I take a step back and go, honestly, these 2 days of conversation we just had, if you move to a hosted service like Office 365, it's irrelevant. Why? You don't have to worry about how to upgrade, how to patch, how to maintain, how many databases, where's my storage, what type of storage. That's done for you with the service. There's still some administration, there's still some customization, some configuration, but SaaS is a great application for us to move forward with. just a key tag, right? The right tool for the right choice. Remember, it's about your choice. Say my bad word if I don't care, right? If you decide to deploy in Azure, awesome. If you want to run it on-premise, great. If you want to run it in another third party, fine. But we have a right tool for the right job for you. So whether it's Windows Server, all the security enhancements that we've had within our new operating systems, and that we'll talk about some of the things later, bringing in software-defined. Remember, we're a cloud-first company. We're bringing a lot of those lessons from our learning in Azure to you in your own data center. So I've been in a number of sessions, and I hear people say, hey, Brian, you know, we're not a big Microsoft shop, so Azure, you know, Microsoft. But really, Azure is a platform. It's an open cloud platform. If you look at whether it's Chef or Puppet or Jenkins or Grunt, all the different open source or third-party Linux, FreeBSD or Docker, Microsoft loves open source. Microsoft loves Linux. Remember, Azure is a platform that you can deploy almost any technology to and is supported within our application stack. So we have a number of capabilities, whether it's Hadoop or Redis Cache or MySQL or MongoDB, that are highly integrated with our solution. So don't think of Azure as just Microsoft. Think of Azure as a platform that can provide you opportunity to endless capabilities. Early on, this has subsided a little bit, but in the early days of cloud, and as we're still evolving, compliance is a big deal. I'm predominantly federal DoD, so walking a lot of places with guns and barbed wire fences. So accreditations are big. So recently we've announced some high-level accreditations with the DoD, like DISA and FedRAMP levels that we have, level 4, CGIS. We're constantly evolving the accreditation levels within our organizations, within our Azure stacks, and moving into different gamuts of the game. So go to azure.com/trustcenter to get a detailed list of all the different accreditations and the services that are accredited to those certain levels. So as we're talking about hybrid cloud, when Azure first evolved, I'd go in meetings all the time and say, you know, I really love what I heard, but can you bring that to my data center? Can you bring that to me? In the early days, the answer was no. Now we've announced something called Microsoft Azure Stack a few months back. It's currently in Tech Preview 2. Plan is to be out sometime next year, but always subject to change. So the power of this is I have the exact same code, the exact same APIs brought to you in your data center. Whether it's IaaS, certain PaaS services, storage, it's identical interface, it's identical code. So if I open up PowerShell and I run a command against Azure, that same command would work. All your automation is going to flow through. So why not deploy a solution that, whether it's on-premise or in the cloud, is 100% identical with the capability set that we can do for what the offerings that we bring on-prem. So looking at this graphic here of Azure Stack, this is the same interface you'll see in Azure in a moment when I demo this for you. It's the same look and feel brought to you in your data centers. Again, we're taking all the lessons that we've learned as an organization from the cloud and bringing it to you as an offering in your data center. So let's take a look at Azure Stack. So now if you look, I'm connected into my data center, running this locally within my confines, and if you notice, portal.azurestack.local, Microsoft Azure Stack. And the first thing you'll see is the same look and feel within Azure. So if I try to deploy a new component, like a virtual machine, within my environment, I get the same look and feel, the same marketplace. So we have third-party vendors that can add into your marketplace. We can deploy these virtual machine templates. I just have a Windows Server one in place right now. Again, this is no different than if I was deploying this in the cloud myself. If I toggle back to Azure, other than I have a few more shortcuts posted right now on the interface, again, it's the exact same look and feel, the exact same capabilities. Again, bringing you those lessons learned into your data center. So as I go through the portal and I deploy a virtual machine or some compute, it's the same steps, the same interface that I would have had with Azure Stack on-premise. Again, providing you that same ubiquitous experience and capability. So if you deploy Azure Stack in the near future, and then move to Azure or do a hybrid model, it's the same lessons, the same learning curves, the same capabilities. Again, I can't stress long enough that this is the exact same technology that we're bringing to you, but you can run it in the confines of your data center if that's what you wish to do. Again, it's your choice, the flexibility of a choice. We provide you those options. Some of the challenges customers have when they're moving to the cloud. I hear this all the time. You know, hey, Brian, you know, we're not gonna have a cloud, we're gonna have multiple clouds. whether it's Amazon, Azure, on-premise, VMware, Hyper-V, I'm going to have multiple technologies. I've invested in those technologies or made certain decisions, or I don't want to be locked into one vendor. I'm looking for an enterprise-class solution that can help me maintain and operate that ubiquitous experience. I said, all right, that's great. You know, IT is very cost prohibitive in many cases. We have some complex infrastructure, things all over the place, systems turned on in the corner that people just don't even remember what they are, but they don't want to touch them in case they break. And really want to move to an application-focused model, right? Maintaining all this infrastructure, the power, the cooling, the servers, you know, that's very tedious. I want to really focus on the applications that help me drive my business and getting back to be an agile organization where we can turn on a dime. If you decide to make a deployment, and you think about it takes 3 years, how much has your business, your organization evolved and changed over that time period, right? We need to be able to move on a dime to keep up with the current market. So remember, Microsoft's a cloud-first organization. As we recently announced Windows Server 2016 and System Center 2016, and with Azure Stack coming in the near future, we're bringing those lessons into you, to your data center. Where there's computes, the same hypervisor running up in Azure that we're running on-premise, right? We learn those lessons, we bring that into Hyper-V. With our networking aspect, all the software-defined networking that's brought to you in Windows Server 16 comes from lessons that we've learned in Azure. With storage, we're looking at using software-defined storage with storage spaces direct and storage spaces to do hyper-converged and converged infrastructures. Again, all of our experience brought to you in your data center if that's what you wish to do. And on the security aspect, we're bringing you things like shielded virtual machines that's high in most in the industry, the security environment to help protect against that insider threat, as well as the host guardian service. So you can look up more about that information in the near future. But really, how do I get there? How do I provide that ubiquitous experience to my organization? Because I always hear, yeah, cloud's great, but I don't want to lose visibility. That's fine. With role-based access and permissions, we can use things like Service Manager. In Service Manager, we can have that single pane of glass to put in a ticket, to call automation techniques, to call different components of System Center. And behind that could be a third-party cloud, like an Amazon, or on-premise data center, running VMware, running Hyper-V, or Microsoft Azure, or anything in between. So with our technology, we can bleed the cloud boundary on-premise and various providers, but still provide you that control. That automation, because the reality is, where's the number one fault point in IT? It's us, it's the person. It's not a malicious attempt, but most misconfiguration occurs from some manual step or some misstep. So when I ask people, like, how do you deploy that today? Well, I send a list of steps to someone, 2 weeks later, they go through the process. I'm like, oh my goodness, why are you doing this? We have the tool set that's in place for you, whether it's with Azure Automation or with System Center to make that happen. And then beyond that, we need to monitor the health of our applications, the health of our systems that we're running, no matter where they run. So if I'm looking at running it in Azure or on-premise in my private cloud, running VMware or Hyper-V, or even platforms like Amazon, I can use something like System Center Operations Manager, and we'll talk about OMS in a minute, to tie into that, to monitor my assets regardless of where they physically reside. That's very powerful. Remember that statement earlier, most organizations said they're gonna have multiple clouds, and those clouds are going to probably pierce multiple vendors. So how do I get a ubiquitous experience and a ubiquitous management aspect no matter where the boundary lies? Data Protection Manager. So I'm going to back up our assets, but quite often, how do I know? Maybe I don't have but one data center, or it's very cost prohibitive to run a second facility just for a COOP or DR. Azure can be that platform with you. And whether it's System Center Data Protection Manager or any other third-party backup, I can back up my assets on-premise and then synchronize them to the cloud and use the cloud or Azure as my recovery point. We now have 99 years worth of retention in Azure. That's a long time. I always say I'm not going to be around if once it expires, but maybe someone else will be. So again, let Azure be that component to extend your boundaries, to extend that data center, but yet a single application or backup solution that can pierce both boundaries of on-premise and in the cloud. As I mentioned, orchestration, whether it's service management automation, Azure Automation, or System Center Orchestrator, right? We need to stop doing all those manual tasks. That's the IT of old. The way we evolve is by automation. Remember that DevOps model that we have, where we're taking infrastructure as code and helping us deploy, right? If you look at assets, we should be able to repeatably deploy stuff consistently on a regular basis and very rapidly. And that's how we have to evolve. That's how we become agile as an organization. So OMS log analytics. So the number one thing I've heard from organizations, I've been in IT for about 20 some years, and every organization that's come in with an op says, what's the number one thing you've heard from leadership? I want an executive dashboard that shows me the health of my organization, right? I've heard it from everybody that comes in, and every time I've talked about it, you see me nodding up and down, like, oh, yeah, and they look over at the managers, they're all smiling, right? And why was that so hard? Well, technically, in the past, you had so many systems to put it together. It was a technical challenge, was very expensive and hard to do, right? So we still need to manage and monitor these systems, but now things are moving so rapidly in the cloud and rapidly on-prem. Innovation is instantaneous and daily and hourly. Look at Windows as a service. No longer is it three-year upgrade cycles. It's every quarter or two quarters that you have a new version or a new rev of Windows or a new application. Look at your phone. Apps update on a daily basis. How do we evolve in that and monitor that infrastructure? So OMS has a number of components to the solution, but we're going to focus on the log analytics aspect of it, right? We're going to talk about that executive dashboard that can give us the health of our organization. So let's go ahead and take a look at this. So we're going to start out, and we're looking at the health of my organization. So today, cyber is a big thing. Excuse me. And you've heard of Microsoft Digital Crimes Unit, hopefully. If not, we have an organization within Microsoft that goes out and takes down botnet heads throughout the world. And what we do is we replace that head with a monitoring node so that we can force everybody to upgrade to Windows 10. No, it's a kidding. I'm joking, right? We do that, so we now start receiving the feeds from all these malware-based machines. So always when I'm in a session with me, I'm like, hey, what country of origin, what region of origin do you think is connecting to my systems the most? So let's take a look at our security and audit component within this. And let's take a look at our threat intelligence traffic. So the first thing I get in real time is the number of connections inbound to my organization, or hopefully not outbound, but it would be flagged in red if it was, live connecting in real time. So go back in your organization right now and say, I want a list of every machine connecting from a country of origin and whether they're owned or not. Good luck with finding that information typically. So let's drill down on the first section that we have here. So we're going to look at the last 24 hours worth of results. I'm going to pull up this list and get an idea of the machines connecting to my organization. So what we're going to do this is we replace those botnet heads, we'll gain that information and that insights to organization to talk about all the different types of traffic coming into my organization. And we can see that if machine's been owned by a bot or whatever organization it's coming from, I can see that traffic and that information for me. Oop, refresh. So again, give me that ubiquitous view, that ubiquitous experience going on within my organization. Let's move on for a second. So the next thing we're looking at is, Brian, I want to move 5 servers to the cloud, right? I always hear this. They're like, how much network do I need? I'm like, I don't know. This is just 5 servers. I said, I really don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what those, are they streaming videos all day long? Are they just sitting there? Are they file servers? So we're gonna look at the wire data component that's built into this. And I can see my first server here, like, wow, 150 gigs of traffic. That's a lot of traffic here. So let's drill down and see what's going on. I happen to know that's one of my Hyper-V nodes in my infrastructure. And write down, I have 74,000 results. Well, that's a lot to look at. So I tell you what, let's trim that down really quick. We can simply move our slider bar over. And I trim down from 74,000 to 28,000 results just that quickly. And I can expand under the show more, and I can go, hey, what's going on? I happen to know that's my live migration network, and I look at the number of bytes, and oh, it's the cluster service. So a lot of my traffic is virtual machines moving around. Why is this relevant to me? Because now I can know the network patterns for machines as I move those assets into the cloud, because network becomes so important once we start to move our assets up. Now the next thing is, okay, I'm gonna put something in the cloud. I need to know how much network I need. What if my network goes down? What if I can't get to my resource? What if I can't get to my asset? Well, that's great. We have another component here called our network monitor. And from in here, I can set up monitors in my infrastructure. And I've used this recently, actually, to diagnose network outages within my organization. So I can quickly in here look at packet loss and latency and timelines. What's the last 7 days? I can zoom in on a section. I can look at latency. I can get alerts on this. So now I go, hey, my connection to my cloud assets is up and running, or it's delayed, or it's lagging, or there's something going on with my network. As an exchange guy for 10 years, I used to always get, hey, exchange is down. Like, no, it's up and running fine. Well, we can't get to it, it's the application's down, because that's how it normally gets brought up initially, is at the application. So I'd spend a half an hour digging around, going, okay, everything's working perfectly, just to go contact the networking guys. My degree's in networking, so I like to put them on network brethren, right? But with a tool set like this, with quick glance, I can see that the network connectivity has gone down, there's latency, there's drops in packets, and now I can diagnose that really quick and get it to the right resolution point. So we start working our way through the stack. We've looked at some security assets. We looked at some networking for me. What about application or patching, right? At a quick glance, I can get Windows or Linux. I happen to have no Linux in my environment right now. But I can get a glance of all the patches that are missing or need deployed. So let's just check out this node one here that I have in my infrastructure. I get a quick little dial-up dashboard of how many patches are missing, and let's change it to a list view. So there we go. I can see any definitions that I have been missing, any critical patches. Depending on the OMS license you have, I can even push that out to my applications or my servers. The other really cool thing is this Power BI component in here. Again, the power of the cloud and big data and analytics. I can tie that information together and start doing additional dashboarding in my environment and really drilling down on this data. Again, it's all log data at the end of the day. So I can now provide some additional information, some additional dashboarding for my organization. The other thing I always used to get was, hey, something's down in my environment. Okay, what'd y'all change? And everybody looks down at the ground and everybody says, nothing. No one changed anything. Okay, something changed, right? But no one was really fess up. So we have a change tracking component in here. And we can look at whether it's software or services. Let's take a look at software changes that I might have in my environment. So let's just pick this node right here. I can drill down on a particular machine. And I can look at, hey, the System Center endpoint protection was updated. Here was a patch that was installed. If there was a service change in the other view, I now can start looking at the whole health of the system. I can look at the health of my applications or what's changed, right? Because really, no one wants to fess up if they did an oops in their environment. But now again, we've gone from security to network status, to patch status. And again, this is across applications, this is across platforms, whether it's Linux, whether it's Windows, whether this machine resides in your basement in Amazon or Azure, on-prem or VMware, it doesn't matter. It's your choice what you're running, but we have a solution that can help provide you guidance regardless of where it is and what platform it resides on. So we have additional components. So think about even as you're moving to SaaS-based services, like Office 365, people, hey, I really want to know what's going on. What's going on in my environment? How is that functioning for me? So I can look at my users. I mean, my environment's pretty small here, but let's look at this machine. It's one of the boards in my room that I have back in the office. And I can look at authentication activity. I can look at what's going on with that asset, as well as if there's any administration tasks going on that people are running the commands. I really get that SaaS application, and I don't lose the insights and availability to it. So everybody's like, yeah, that's really cool. How hard is it to set this up? It's actually really easy. I always tell people that, hey, within about 10 minutes, we can have this up and running for you, right? So if we look at our connected sources, the first thing is it's an agent-based solution. I can download and install my Windows server, Windows client agent, doesn't matter. And I can install that whether it's 32-bit, 64-bit. But here we go, Linux in our environment, right? Again, Windows or Linux. Microsoft is great with open source. Microsoft loves Linux nowadays. Again, this is not just a Microsoft solution. If you're running System Center, it's not a requirement like I am here. I can connect those together so I can utilize the data that's already being aggregated from my organization already. If I'm running cloud services like Office 365 or even Windows telemetry data, I can all have feed into this organization. But not only that, we can act as a giant SIM for you in the cloud. We can aggregate all those Windows event IDs. We can aggregate performance counters from Windows to get our performance data. From Linux, log analytics that we can do from IIS, I can create custom fields, integrate a syslog. My point is this is that ubiquitous, that global application, that executive dashboard that everybody's been asking for. I can add in so much. I can do customizations in this environment. We can also configure alerts. So again, if I'm looking at like my top one here, I have environments set up on-premise and in the cloud, and I have Active Directory running in both places and replicating. I want to know if that fails to occur. That can cause a lot of authentication problems in my environment. So I can set up an alert to trip and notify me, or I can set thresholds for various other things within my organization. As with any solution in the cloud, it's constantly evolving. As we expand new capabilities, we allow you to opt in or opt out to any preview components that we have to allow you to keep expanding that in your infrastructure. So OMS provides that boundary, whether it's Linux, whether it's Windows, regardless of where it resides, again, that ubiquitous experience. And to set this up, you simply go into the solution gallery, and you can see a number of solutions that we have. I'll just scroll across the screen really quick. Whether it's for security auditing, network, and so forth in my infrastructure, whether you own them or need to install them. So if there's anyone that I didn't have set up and installed, like the Service Fabric really quick, I'll enable it for you. Just literally go in here and select Add. Depending on the solution, that could be it, or there's a couple additional steps that you have. But now I've now turned on Service Fabric monitoring my environment. I've added a new section that'll eventually load up and start providing me data points. And there's many more assets that I can get a look at within OMS Log Analytics. I can start looking at my usage data, how much I'm using, what's connecting, what's providing the volume. I can start creating custom views with the Solution Gallery Designer here at the bottom. And I can start getting massive amounts of data points in my infrastructure for me, whether it's custom perfuse, containers, change tracking, Azure logs, and the list goes on of the solutions that we're providing. Oops. So I want to thank you for spending the time with me over the last few minutes, and I want to recommend these upcoming episodes of episodes 2 and 3 around DevOps, DR, and Azure Recovery Services. So if you have any questions, I want to thank you for your time. And we'll open up the floor for any questions at the moment.
All right, Brian, you have a question? The viewer mentions, loves the System Center and the OMS centralized dashboarding. Because so much power is centralized, how do we manage admin rights and privileges within that centralized universe?
Excellent, great question. So depending on what you're talking about, obviously System Center has a lot of role-based control within it. In Azure OMS, there's a few different roles that are available today. If you go into, bring up the portal really quick. Right now, we're always evolving and expanding this. We can go into our account section and manage our users. And we're provided with a few different options right now, whether it's read-only, administrator, or contributor. There's also a custom view component that you can have that I can bring up. So as things evolve, we can cut down and customize what capabilities people can do and the permissions that are available for them. Great question.
We're not showing any other questions at this time.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us today for the session, and I hope to see you in some of the new sessions coming up in the future.